You're listening to media from University Lutheran Church and Student Center. We are a multi-generational, Jesus-centered community of scripture, faith, and grace located in Tallahassee, Florida, on the campus of Florida State University. To learn more and to get connected to other resources, please visit universitylutheranchurch.org. We hope that the next few moments are a time when God speaks into your life by the power of His Holy Spirit about His Son, Jesus Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Three in One, who has come in order to show us that He has given us faith so that He might pull us through. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, there was a series that Liz and I were watching several kind of years ago, I think a couple of years ago, called Shadow and Bone. And it was a great series. It comes from a series of books that I haven't read, but the series itself was pretty good. And in that series, there was this scene where there was this big sort of ugly cloud that was filled with monsters. I mean, already sounds really great, doesn't it? Big sort of ugly cloud filled with monsters, and there was this need to get from one side to the other. And there's kind of a railroad track that went in between the two sides. And this railroad track was the thing that got you through. And if you broke down in the middle of the cloud, you know what would happen? Monsters would happen. Monsters would come and they'd tear you to pieces and it wouldn't be good. But if you stayed on that track, if your vehicle stayed on that track and you were able to get through, then that is what got you to the other side. And I think that's a good picture for us to start off with as we look into the readings that we have for this morning. The readings that we have for this morning are all about faith. And they're all about these sort of different pictures of what faith can look like in our lives. Because let's be honest, when we talk about faith, faith is one of those things that's a little bit difficult to talk about. It's a little bit mysterious. It's a little bit sort of beyond our words sometimes to be able to say, okay, this is what faith is. I mean, we can either go sort of too mysterious where we say, oh, well, faith is such a weird thing that I just can't even describe it to you. Or we can go, you know, maybe just a little bit too simplistic and just say, well, faith and trust, they're all kind of the same thing. And both of those probably encompass kind of two ends of the big crazy cloud that is faith. But they don't tell you about everything that's in between. And that's where I think the readings for this morning actually show us the monsters in the cloud. They actually show us the things that we're getting through. It shows us that faith is that path that gets us through. It's that thing that pulls us through to the other end. But in order to really understand what it is, and especially in order to explain that to somebody who maybe doesn't quite understand faith, we have to address the monsters. We have to talk about what's inside of the cloud in order to really talk about what faith is. And so we start off with the first monster in the cloud, with Habakkuk. Now, the first monster really is, how do we pronounce that name? Is it Habakkuk? Is it Habakkuk? We don't know. It's Hebrew. It actually means to embrace. The word means to embrace, and there's something to that about what Habakkuk is doing in his prophetic book, that he's sort of embracing what is going on with God's will, even though it's hard. Because the book opens up on a very sort of minor off-key note. It opens up with Habakkuk saying, violence! Violence over here! Evil! Evil things are happening, God! And he's saying that. He's crying out to God. He's saying, hey, God, do you see this? Well, what's going on? I thought you were God. I thought you knew all of this stuff was happening. And so he's crying out to God. He's saying, hey, don't you see these things? And the things particularly that Habakkuk is seeing as he looks around is he's looking at people that are exploiting other people. He's looking at people that are worshiping foreign gods in God's own nation. He's looking at a lot of different things that are happening, and he's crying out to God and saying, God, don't you see this stuff? Well, I think we know what that feels like. I think all we have to do is open up our news app or whatever it is that you use to get news and watch that for a little while, and you start to get there. I think all you have to do is open up your social media feed and start to see all of the things that people are dealing with, and you start to get there. You start to cry out to God, God, don't you see this? There's stuff going on. There's violence that's happening in our world. There are broken hearts that are all around us. There's people that are exploiting other people. There's injustice. There's all sorts of things that are wrong. And as we look at that, we cry out to God. And we say, don't you see it? And it seems weird that that is a faithful response. Because in some ways, that seems like that's maybe an unfaithful response. That's a, God, did you miss something? God, are you not quite God? God, you promised that you are all omniscient, but am I needing to point this out to you? And in the midst of that, we get God responding back to Habakkuk. And basically, essentially telling him, yeah, I know. This is part of a bigger plan. This is part of a bigger thing. And unfortunately for Habakkuk, that part of a bigger thing is not even all that great for when it's going to come. God is telling Habakkuk that yes, there is violence around him. Yes, there are people that are being exploited. Yes, people are worshiping foreign gods. Yes, this is all not good. And my major plan is I'm going to send in the Babylonians, and they are going to wreck your nation. And they're going to take you off into exile. And you're going to be in exile for probably a couple generations of people's lives. But you'll be brought back. And when you're brought back, I'm going to do good things for you. That's a really sort of awful answer. But it's God's answer. God's answer is that here's what's going on. Here's what I'm doing. And you're going to have to trust me that this is for good. And at the end, he tacks on this little kind of strange saying that Paul picks up later on in the New Testament that says that the righteous will live by faith. And what does it mean to live by faith? Well, it means that Habakkuk is going to have to live out his life knowing that there's something bigger happening than what he's experiencing. And if we're honest with ourselves, if we're honest with our mortality, we have to embrace that along with Habakkuk. We have to look around us at the evil that's in our world. We have to look around us at the violence that's in our world. We have to look around us and we have to say, God is using this somehow. But where all of this is headed is him finally rescuing us from sin, death, and the devil. That is the thing that's at the end of this, that God somehow is still working in our world in order to bring about his will. And because of that, he allows some stuff to happen. And that's an awful answer. It's something that means that we have to be ready to deal with the violence around us. It's something that means that we have to be ready to pray for the people that are around us. It means that we have to be the body of Christ for the people that are around us. It means that we are set in the middle of what God is doing, knowing that what it is leading to is something good, but that right now we're in the middle of a sinful world, and that that is bad. Well, that's hard. It's so hard, in fact, that it sounds a little bit like what the psalmist is dealing with here. So the psalmist here is probably David. It's probably David himself who's writing this out. And it appears that the problem in the psalm is that there are people that are attacking him. People that are treating him like a leaning wall or a tottering fence. Just something that all I need is one little flick and they're going to fall over. And even worse than that, if you read the psalm over and over again, it kind of looks like who the people are that David is dealing with are his friends, are his advisors, the people that he should be able to trust. And so in the midst of that, we kind of feel that way, right? We kind of feel like there's this thing in us that, well, maybe, how do I have faith? How do I have faith that God is doing something good in this world through his son, through his church, when I look around and everything around me is violence and evil and things that Habakkuk were seeing? How do I keep that faith? And that's what David is trying to work out in the psalm. He's trying to work out that there are things that are around him that don't make sense in a world that is completely controlled by God, but rather that there are things that God has allowed in this world where he has said, you've got to deal with this. This is part of living in my plan. And what David is crying out for time and time again is this ability to approach that with a quiet soul, with this sort of understanding that God is going to take care of things, even though I look around and a lot looks like it's going wrong. And that pushes us into that reading from 2 Timothy. Starting off the book of 2 Timothy, if you've been with us for a few Sundays here, we've kind of been working our way through 1 Timothy, and now we're into 2 Timothy. The big thing to recognize here is that the distance between 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy is probably pretty big. That when Paul is talking to Timothy in 1 Timothy, he's probably just a young punk pastor. You know, if you're old enough around here, remember when I was first ordained. You know, that kind of a guy. You know, just like all of these wild and crazy ideas, and now it's a little bit later. And it appears that what's going on with Timothy, and sometimes I think we try to sweep this under the rug, what appears is going on with Timothy is that Timothy's fire has burned down to embers. That his faith is maybe in a little bit of trouble. Paul is writing to Timothy about his tears. He's writing to him about the faith that he had because of his grandmother Lois and Eunice, and he's trying to bring him back to that moment, but it appears that Timothy is in trouble. And how often is that us in faith as well? Where after a while, we just kind of get a little bit exhausted in our faith. Where we're looking around and we're seeing everything that's happening to us and we're having trouble holding it together. And we need somebody who's like a Paul, who reaches out to us and reminds us of where our faith was from and how to fan that back into flame. And then the coup de grace, the gospel reading, where all of this is heading. We have this sort of awkward reading again in the gospel reading. In case you haven't picked it up, in these Sundays in big green, in the Sundays after Pentecost, especially as you get later into Pentecost, Jesus's sayings tend to be a little bit harder to deal with. And so that's exactly what's happening with Jesus when he's talking to his disciples here. Jesus says, you know, it'd be really bad for people that fall into temptations, but you know what's worse? If you're the reason. Ooh, man, ouch. And on top of that, Jesus then says, okay, on top of not being the reason, I have some stuff for you to do. First thing he tells them to do is to call anybody who is sinning around them to repentance. That's hard. And yet Jesus calls them to do it. And then Jesus says, oh, and in addition to that, you don't just get to be the jerk who calls other people to repentance, but you also have to forgive them. And maybe the disciples are like, okay, yeah, that fits, Jesus. We're kind of tracking. And then he adds on, and even if they sin against you seven times in a day and they repent seven times in a day, you are supposed to forgive them. Now, I don't know if you really heard what Jesus said there. Somebody is sinning against you seven times in one 24-hour period, and they're returning to you to repent. I don't know about you. I feel like I'm sort of okay forgiving people a lot of the time, but seven to about at four, I would be like, you got to talk to Jesus because this guy is not doing it anymore. And so you can see why the disciples are like, increase our faith. And Jesus goes on to explain that faith is, it's like that track that I was talking about. It's that thing that pulls us through. It's not that thing that points to ourselves. It isn't something where we go, oh, I'm so great because I forgave this many people this many times. But it's what's pulling us through the dark age that we live in. It's what's pulling us through the hard times that seem like Habakkuk's day. It's what's pulling us through when Timothy felt like he was about at the end of his rope and found Paul there speaking God's words of life back into him. It's like that moment where we feel like we're a tottering wall or a leaning fence and God is there to support us. That's what's in the cloud. Those are the monsters. But don't focus on the monsters. Focus on the track. Focus on the fact that Jesus has come into our world in order to show us that he is the way and the truth and the life. That he is the way that we get through this life that we're in. That this is the way that we get through all of that into the resurrection that he has prepared for us. This is the way that we get through to everlasting joy. This is the way that we get through everything into victory. This is the way that we get through all of the defeats. This is the way that we get through all of the bad feelings. This is the way that we get through everything that seems like it's wrong happening around us, because we know that he is our righteousness. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. And so there are monsters out there. But there's a track. Focus on the track. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this media from University Lutheran Church and Student Center. To learn more and to get connected to other resources, please visit universitylutheranchurch.org. If you would like to financially support more media from University Lutheran, please visit our website and click the Give Now button, which will enable you to engage in the Christian discipline of giving tithes and offerings to God through His church. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up his face upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.